So, the purpose of our symposium today is to pay tribute to Robert Denno, who passed away on March 22nd of this year while doing field work, and collecting butterflies on Sapelo Island, Georgia. It's a time for us all to come together and celebrate the passionate approach to life and work, which was uniquely Denno. Bob was widely recognized as one of the leading insect ecologists in the world, and his impact on the field was extensive, but it was also multidimensional. His impact was expressed through his innovative research, or as Bob would say, we're rocking now. Or depending on who you were, he may say, even a blind squirrel gets a nut sometimes. His knack for synthesis, also known as seeing the forest despite the trees. His dedication to mentoring, or patting the popos of his academic nippers. And his passion for science, feeling the jazz. Bob was probably best known for his detailed and comprehensive study of the terrestrial arthropod assemblage associated with the intertidal salt marshes along the Atlantic coast of North America. His salt marsh adventure began in the early 70s and lasted the rest of his life. Photos like these, in fact, these very photos, have been a staple at ESA meetings for decades. But after 30 years on the marsh, Bob still relished sucking hoppers and lugging a DVAC around on his back through the mud and waist deep in water. Bob's original interest in sap feeder ecology and plant hopper wing polymorphisms expanded and evolved over time to include studies of life history evolution, plant herbivore interactions, predator ecology, and community ecology. Because Bob worked in a single system for so many years, he was in the unique position of being able to couple very complex, multi-trophic questions with a basic understanding and appreciation for the underlying biological mechanisms. And it's this mechanistic understanding of complex patterns in nature that was a major strength of Bob's work, and it's a theme that you'll see repeated throughout many of the talks this afternoon. So just to highlight exactly how successful Bob was as a researcher, his accomplishments include more than 140 refereed publications, books, and book chapters, and that number continues to grow even today. And these papers were papers with impact. As of October 2008, Bob's refereed publications have been cited over 3,600 times. Bob also had a talent for grasping the big picture. His book, Variable Plants and Herbivores in Natural and Managed Systems, which he co-edited with Mark McClure in 1983, was a groundbreaking look at variation in plant-insect interactions across a whole variety of different spatial and temporal scales. And this was a very influential book that shaped how many of us view plant-insect interactions even today. Likewise, Bob's 1995 review of competition in herbivorous insects evaluated one of the most hotly debated issues in community ecology. Notably, this paper's been cited over 240 times and is an example of the synthetic approach that Bob used to tackle large questions, including reviews of subjects such as dispersal polymorphisms in insects, nutritional constraints in food webs, the impacts of water stress, and genetic isolation by distance in Phytophagous insects. Some of today's talks will revisit these seminal works and either reassess or reapply some of the original concepts outlined by Bob. But Bob's impact on the field can't be measured merely by the papers and books that he published. Bob had a level of dedication to mentoring that's rarely seen. Perhaps the best way to get a sense of his commitment to his students is from his own description of his programmatic priorities on his website. So Bob says, and I'm just going to quote him, I've tried to develop a balanced approach which blends excellence and visibility of research with enthusiasm towards instruction and the rigorous training of students at all levels, undergraduate, graduate, and postdoctorate. It is with the academic lineage of students and postdoctoral associates that I feel the impact of my program will persist and have widespread consequences for the scientific community. Toward this end, I continue my total dedication to producing and placing top-quality students and postdocs in academic and government positions, publishing in the very best scientific journals, and creating an atmosphere in my lab where it's easy for students and postdocs to learn, interact, and simply enjoy doing rigorous science. Personal relationships were very important to Bob, and he worked hard to maintain that close dynamic within the lab. He always said that science is easy, but people are hard. Okay. Bob was a mentor in a league of his own. He advised over 30 graduate students and 10 postdoctoral associates. The majority of his former students and postdocs presently work in academia or government, including 4 former or current department heads and 3 deans. And so most of the talks that you're going to hear today are from former students or postdocs in Bob's lab. This is the hardest part. I haven't even gotten to the hardest part yet. Okay, sorry. Okay. All right. But perhaps Bob's biggest impact on the field was his genuine enthusiasm for and love of science, or feeling the jazz. Bob had a contagious sense of curiosity, awe, and excitement when it came to the natural world. He loved both insects and plants, but he had a particular fondness for butterflies. As a child, he could be seen, butterfly net in hand, scouring the hills of California for the perfect specimen. Even as an adult, he still wore the little wooden box on the belt that he made as a kid to hold his glycine envelopes while he was on the hunt. But of course, over the years, while the box was the same, the belt had to be switched out a few times. The butterfly collection that Bob started in elementary school now numbers over 36,000 specimens, both drizzly and jazzy. Despite Bob's West Coast upbringing and his laid-back, hey dude personality, Bob was really a meticulous perfectionist, and his collection, which is housed in wooden cabinets that he made himself, is literally stunning. Our final talk this afternoon will be about butterflies, because there's no more fitting way to end a symposium in honor of Bob than to recognize the insect that played such a large role in shaping who Bob was. Okay, I'm gonna go over on time. Okay, all of his vacations, even his honeymoon, revolved around collecting, and always with his wife Barb at his side. The same sense of wonder and boundless energy that drove him to collect butterflies and pine cones and coins and elements and wooden bowls and just about everything else you can imagine spilled over into his personal and professional relationships and his approach to science in general. Bob's passion touched the lives of people all over the world. He brought people together and got them really excited about science. He was a social animal, which led to many fruitful collaborative efforts, and we'll hear about some of that collaborative work this afternoon. Everyone who met Bob felt as if he was instantly their best friend. He made us think and laugh at the same time, while never forgetting to have fun. Although Bob's not physically with us today, his legacy lives on in the science he inspires, the students that he guided, and the people that he brought together in the spirit of friendship and collaboration. And so it's that legacy that we hope to highlight with the talks that we hear today. Okay, I'm done. Whew. Thank you. No questions.